Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 6.
Naham Veda Param Yasmin. Na Param Nasamam Vibho. Na Marupar Gunayar Bhavyam. Sarasat Kinchit Anyataha. Naham Veda Param Yasmin. Na Param Nasamam Vibho. Nama Rupa Gunayar Bhavyam. Sarasad Kinchid Anyataha. Na, do not, aham, myself, Veda, no, param, superior, he, for, asmin, in this world, na, neither, aparam, inferior, na, nor, samam, equal, vibho, O great one, nama, name, rupa, characteristics, Gunaihi, by qualification. Bhavyam, all that is created. Sat, eternal. Asat, temporary. Kinchit, or anything like that. Anyataha, from any other source. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics, and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior, or equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any source other than that of your Lordship, Thou so great. Purport. The manifested world is full of varieties of created beings in 8,400,000 species of life, and some of them are superior and inferior to others. In human society, The human being is considered to be the superior living being. And amongst the human beings, there are also different varieties. Good, bad, equal, etc. But Narada Muni took for granted that none of them has any source of greatness, any source of generation beside his father, Brahmaji. Therefore, he wanted to know all about them from Lord Brahma. Narada is already well established in knowledge that practically no one else after him has. Even before he approached Brahma as a spiritual master, of course he had his relationship with his father before, but A son does not necessarily accept his father as spiritual master. In general, it's difficult for parents to teach... Well, anyway, I experience that it's difficult to teach your own son. That generally you have to give the child to another person to teach him. Because at home, the child is used to being free and undisciplined. Some homes are more disciplined than others. I imagine that the household of Lord Brahma is relatively disciplined. He is the supreme authority in this universe. He's probably not an extremely lax parent, permissive parent. So Narada may have been brought up as a disciplined child. Anyway, we know from Narada's past life, Dantasya Anucharasya, he was a well-behaved child. In his previous life as the son of a Shudra, that's how he got the favor of the Vaishnavas who were visiting and staying in his mother's quarters. Because he was not like the other boys, unruly and just interested in play. He was a serious boy in his previous life. So generally a person carries his basic character with him from one body to another. The subtle body, which is the mind, intelligence, and ego, is the same from one body to another. So your basic personality doesn't change even when you change bodies. Narada, if he was a serious boy, in his previous life, he probably is a serious boy in this life. And so he already has a spiritual relationship with his father. Father is a kind of spiritual master. Especially when the father is giving spiritual guidance by his example, and the child is faithful and obedient. So that is all there. But now, Narada is accepting his father formally as spiritual master in the more literal sense. He's approaching him, and he probably did not do this before, for instruction. He's asking basic questions here that someone, you know, everyone should know, the Vaishnavas should know, that Lord Brahma is not the supreme, that he is a servant of Krishna. Narada seems not to know that quite well. He's in doubt about that. So I don't think he could have approached Brahma with similar questions before. He would have learned it already, that Brahma isn't God. So this must be the first time that Narada is seriously approaching his father and asking him to give instructions as a spiritual master. Still, he must already know quite a bit. He knows that there's nothing created in this world that doesn't have its origin in his father, Lord Brahma. Most of us are not realized in that fact. Some of us have not even a theoretical idea that there's supreme person. We think we create our own world. The parents think that they created their own children. A man thinks he created his own destiny by his hard work and his strong will. We tend not to be able to recognize that there is a superior controller, that whatever we have, whatever we've accomplished in this life, is actually the gift of God. Whatever talents we have, whatever ability to achieve success, that is gifted to us. It's given to us by the mercy of the Lord. Tena tyaktena bunjita. We have a right to enjoy what has been given to us as our quota by the Supreme Lord, who is the proprietor, who is the owner of everything. But the word is tena tyaktena. He's given it to us. We didn't create it. The wealth we have, the ability to use our intelligence and to do things,
We didn't create that. That was given to us by the Supreme Lord and Proprietor. It's a gift. It can be taken away from us again. So let's say it's just on loan. We're borrowing it. We cannot even keep it. Therefore, we should not consider ourselves the owners. So, and very often we're foolish, we don't recognize that basic fact of spiritual life, that we're not the owners of anything. Everything is the property of God. Brahma, at least, knows that already. He's just confused about who is God. Concept of God is understood. Then the question is, well, who in particular is God? That question is the most difficult question to answer properly. Not because there's no answer, but because there's too many answers. There's too many candidates for God who are extremely powerful. Look at Brahma. He seems to create the whole universe single-handedly. And he seems to have all spiritual knowledge in his heart. So he's a good candidate for God. Someone might think that he's God. You might ask, well, why doesn't he have so many worshippers? Lord Shiva has many worshippers. Other demigods have their worshippers. Sun god Ganesha, especially in Maharashtra, many people worship Ganesha as God. So why not Brahma? So this is explained that he was cursed by his consort Saraswati. She was offended, felt offended, and cursed him. That in Kali Yuga especially, you will not have devotees. You will not be worshipped because of the curse of his wife. Brahma has almost no temples in Pushkar in Rajasthan, in the middle of, I think it's in the desert, oasis in the desert. This holy place, Pushkar, the lake, is sacred to Lord Brahma, and there Brahma is worshipped. One temple. So I think Prabhupada said there are two temples in India. Yes? Yeah. Thailand, they worship him. They really don't understand Varnashram Dharma, but they worship demigods, and Brahma in Thailand is very popular. So any public building in Bangkok, you'll see a small pagoda, maybe a big one sometimes, and four-headed Brahma is there. We saw, we were staying overnight, airport hotel, so there was a big altar of Brahma in the front of the parking lot, and someone had put four cups of water, one in front of each head. Yeah, very nice. There were flies in the water. My wife had to take the flies out. But anyway, there's some sentiment there, some feeling for Lord Brahma, some tradition of worshipping him, but not in India. In India, his wife's curse is effective. And so only two places. The only other time you see Brahma, not even anymore, but it used to be for weddings. On a wedding invitation, it used to be Brahma's head. Now they put Ganesh. But actually, traditionally, Brahma is Prajapati. So the Homa for wedding is Prajapati Homa. And anyway, the proper tradition is that Brahma, his faces should be there on the wedding invitation. Otherwise, you don't even see his murti so much in India. The curse is there. But he deserves. We recognize Brahma as the founder of our sampradaya, so we worship him as guru. Just as Narada accepted him as guru, and we are coming in the line of Narada. So Brahma is our founding spiritual master. So anyway, Narada, he already has very deep knowledge, enough to recognize that, as he says in this verse, nothing exists that doesn't have its origin in Brahma, in his father. So he has good reasons to be in doubt. Is there really anybody superior to his father? Maybe he actually is God. Gore, don't do that. Please. So, muhyadiyat suryaha. The absolute truth is not easy to identify. You can know the idea of God, but to actually identify who is God, that becomes very difficult. That's the more difficult question. Even the greatest sages, muhyanti yatsuri, about him, about the identity of the personality of Godhead, even the greatest of rishis, like Narada himself, are confused. He was confused until his father clarified everything for him and explained, as he's going to do soon, Brahma is going to explain his subordinate position. Without that explanation, even Narada was confused. Even the Vedas do not clearly identify that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham atma bhaktau. Because Krishna can only be known by devotion, not by Vedic study. Vedeshu durlabham, he's difficult to discover. The actual identity of the Supreme Person is very difficult to discover in the Vedas. The Upanishads, which present the philosophical essence of the Vedas, still do not make it very clear that Krishna is that supreme. Even that the Supreme is a person is not made clear everywhere in the Upanishads, only in some places. And that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll only find that in the Gopaltapa Upanishad, which the non-Vaishnavas will not even accept as authoritative, as authentic. We have to go to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, a few other books that identify that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Brahma Samhita. But these books are not accepted. Gita is accepted, but misinterpreted. Books like Brahma Samhita are not even accepted. The book was discovered, lost book, discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No sense quoting from it if you're preaching to people who are not accepting the authority of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They won't accept the authority of that book. They never heard of it, Brahma Samhita. Bhagavatam, everyone is supposed to, all Vaishnavas accept. Mayavadis even accept it, but then they misinterpret it. It's just by reading the Vedas, the Upanishads, even by reading the Gita and the Bhagavatam, just by reading the books, you will not discover Krishna. You will not be able to conclude Vasudeva Sarvam, that Krishna actually is the origin of everything. Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham atma bhaktau. He's impossible to discover just by Vedic study. But if you have devotion in your heart, then he's easy to find. Nayam, this is stated in the Kathopanishad by Yamaraj. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. This supreme soul cannot be known by speculative arguments. One philosopher thinking it's like this, another one saying no, it's like that, and then they argue among one another and come to some resolution, some compromise. You may be able to decide on how to formulate your laws for the country and your legislature by discussion and compromise. But you cannot identify the absolute truth by that process. Pavachanena, labhyo na medhaya, nor by exercising your intelligence. Medhas literally means brain tissue. So by squeezing your brain, you cannot discover the identity of the Supreme. Na bahuna shrutena. Even by studying the Shruti, the Vedas, the Upanishads, in depth, you will not discover Krishna. Yamai vaisha vinute tena labhyas. When the Supreme Lord is pleased with you, and he chooses, yes, he deserves to know. Then he reveals himself. He cannot be forced to reveal himself. Out of his pleasure with his devotee, he shows who he is. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. For those who are constantly engaged in my worship and who have love for me, I give them transcendental spiritual intelligence by which they can come to me. Come to me doesn't mean to get a reservation on a certain train, to make a physical trip over some space. It means to approach Krishna by understanding him, who he actually is. It's not just knowing the identity. You have to understand the personality, what kind of person he is. What does he want from you? You want to serve Krishna, you have to know how to serve Krishna. You want to serve a certain person, you have to know his desires and his moods. So to approach Krishna intimately means to be able to reciprocate with him as a person, to understand him as a person, and deal with him personally, to know his desires and fulfill them. Who knows Krishna's desires? Only a very, very intimate and empowered devotee. We are so fortunate that we are coming in the line from such devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Sri Rupa Goswami is glorified because he understood the inner heart, the secret desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has established in this world the personal mission of Lord Chaitanya. He knows what Lord Chaitanya wants in the depths of his heart, and he has worked to fulfill the desires of the Lord and establish his mission. That is Rupa Goswami. He is therefore called Prabhupada. And we have our own Prabhupada, the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. The title is given to one who also understands the confidential desires of the Supreme Lord, who knows the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can be called Prabhupada. It should not be claimed by those who, even if they're very faithful and observant of the rules and regulations, if you don't know the inner desire, if you don't know what Chaitanya what Lord Chaitanya, what Krishna really wants, don't accept the title of Prabhupada. Such rare good fortune that we are the disciples of such devotees who not only are faithful, surrendered servants of Krishna, but are intimate servants who know exactly what Krishna wants, who therefore have the power to establish the practical mission of doing Krishna's work in this world, who can change the world because they know Krishna's inner plan. Other devotees don't. They may know something about Krishna, but to know Krishna's inner desire, you have to be very close to him. Only a few devotees know this, and we're fortunate to be in the line of such devotees, to be followers of such devotees. We, without having such insight on our own strength, can simply follow, participate in whatever capacity we can. Participate in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and we will be fulfilling the most confidential desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Krishna. We may be frustrated with ISKCON, but don't forget, this is what ISKCON can offer to us. By serving Srila Prabhupada's mission and satisfying him, not using Prabhupada's mission for our own purposes, but using them to fulfill the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, I'm going to finish, Gord. Let me do it without asking you. Then we'll get all the blessings of the Lord and of all the spiritual masters in the disciplic succession. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.